Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This hour on the show, some of the best restaurants here in the capital city around Central Ohio. We're going to find out about them. Restaurants where you would be proud to eat. Restaurants with good food made from fresh ingredients. Yes, proud, Rich Terrapin. From fresh ingredients, even reasonably priced wines, relaxing or riotous atmospheres, whatever you choose. Back with us, Columbus restaurant critics, our own WOSU restaurant critic, Rich Terrapin. Good
Fred,
to have you here.
Thank you.
From the Columbus Dispatch, critic John Christensen back. Welcome back.
Thank you, Fred.
And for City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, welcome back, Steve Stober. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Fred. I want to go to a place where I'm proud to eat.
They're proud to have you, I'll tell you that. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. You can email a question or comment to openline@wosu.org.
The fair is only a couple months away, Steve. We can be Ohio proud.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm on at the fair this year, by the way.
Oh, are you?
I'm going to do the fair. It's been a couple years and...
With a wonderful fair food.
You mean eat your way through?
Well, no, we can do that. I'm going to actually do a demo at the Heartland Cuisine as I've done, for, I think it's 15 or more years. But
you're
going
to do a cooking
demo. A demonstration
demo.
Of cooking or
yes,
eating?
Yeah. Cooking. But
one of our meat is something.
One of our favorite things during the old days at the fair was to go around from booth to booth. We called it Fair Food Frenzy.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we would try to eat.
We'd identify all the new you know, fried items.
The new life forms?
Yeah.
Well, alligator.
Yeah.
But I remember going to
Snicker
six
bars.
Or eight places in an hour and 10 minutes
yeah.
one time at the
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
It was grueling, Fred.
I can imagine.
But we did, because it was our civic responsibility, we followed through.
Well, two of the three of you are so slim. That's the interesting thing.
Which one is not?
Maybe the one who ate all that fair food. Rich Terrapin, you reviewed one of my favorites for WOSU, the North Star Cafe. It's in the Short North and Beachwold, right?
Right. In two locations. I think all three of us agreed that it's a wonderful establishment. They do a lot of local sourcing, a buzz term among food critics, which means we're getting they're getting their product locally. Some of it, even I think, by specific contract. It's really a treat, a treasure for the city. All sorts of wonderful things. You know, I love
many of them vegetarian, but not all.
Not all. Uh-huh. No, that's right. You can get tofu's protein substitute. In a number of dishes, but they have chicken and they have meatloaf sandwiches and all of those kinds
pizza
of things.
With pizza? Pepperoni?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the best dishes I've had in Columbus in years was at the North Star. It was a simple salad, in season, perfect heirloom tomatoes, a lovely vinaigrette, a little bit of blue cheese, and it was just like perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we look forward to going.
They have absolutely the best veggie burger ever. In fact, the only, edible veggie burger
yes.
I've ever eaten. But this is supremely edible. It's wonderful. Have you had it?
Yes, done? And they make their own.
They make their
that's
own.
That's the only way they can do it.
Yeah.
And they do it from scratch. It takes a great deal of time to prepare. This is not like these, you know, Boca burgers or whatever that you get at the freezer at the grocery store.
Yeah, the Swanson burgers.
Yeah. So it has had a kind of a nice, relaxed atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and they do some things that nobody else has done in decades, such as a whole artichoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Homemade.
Preparing, cooking, and presenting a whole artichoke. Nobody does that anymore because it's probably...
It's time-consuming.
It's not cute enough. Also, it's messy to eat compared to just throwing away most of the artichoke and serving artichoke hearts.
Yeah.
But I don't recall any whole artichoke since someplace on 161 in the mid-70s.
Sweet 61, was that it?
No, the Garden Cafe or something like that.
Homemade ginger ale?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Homemade ginger ale at the North Star
Cafe. A little spicy, but it's
A carrot drink that is pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. What is that called? It's called the Super
recall.
Spangler or something.
Something like
that. Yeah. And it's in the Short North at near, what?
Second, beside White Castle.
Yeah.
And up in Beachwold.
Yeah.
As well.
Just south of Henderson on high.
Both have outdoor places to sit.
Yes.
A little noisy inside. That's my only, it's not a complaint. But
and you order
noisy.
At the counter, quiet. And then when your food's ready, they bring it to you. So it's, that's nice as
but
well.
But if you have to wait around for a table or ordering, you've got the sofa and chairs and a lot of magazines.
A lot of magazines to read.
Yeah.
The North Star Cafe, 614-292-8513 with your favorites. John Christensen, you reviewed once again. You went back to see the Whole World Bakery in Clintonville on High Street in its 30th year now. Tell us about that.
It seems, well, that's miraculous for any restaurant.
Yeah.
Especially so for a determinedly vegetarian restaurant, which they had been from day one. And having that whole wheat spin that they had back then, and which has endured. They've endured the fact that so many regular restaurants have put vegetarian dishes on their menus.
Yes.
That's where the competition has really come from. But they've managed to hang in there, and I think they're better now than they ever were before.
What's the secret of that success?
Well, I think they've tried, they've changed or refined the recipes over the years. For instance, the crust, the whole wheat crust that they mm-hmm. use, that's an option for their pizzas, and which in many places just turns out to be a really gamey, barnyardy version of a regular pizza crust, and which, frankly, tasted like that there originally, mm-hmm. has been adapted for flavor. What a concept.
Yeah, really.
Imagine a restaurant doing
Not
that.
Many restaurants subscribe to that.
So there's no hair shirt mentality like we used to associate with vegetarian restaurants, nothing doctrinaire. Mm-hmm. Just, I think, a lot more focus on the flavor of the food over the years. And if you keep refining and you're open for a long time, you get pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd say the same thing for the Wynn's restaurant in Dayton.
In the Wynn.
Yellow Springs.
Oh, in Yellow Springs. Wonderful restaurant.
Great place.
Yeah, it's a terrific restaurant.
Which we have to continue to support after the college closes.
And which has gotten better and better over the years.
Yeah. The Wynn's is marvelous, isn't it? I mean, every time I go to Yellow Springs, that's the first thing. Go to lunch at the Wynn's. I mean, it's just... Again, I'm not... Is it all vegetarian? I don't know.
No, not at all. Yeah, you get meat, fish, some vegetarian dishes, and usually at least one vegan offering.
Yeah.
But again, they never taste like they're made according to some doctrine.
No, they don't.
Sawdust and grass clippings.
Exactly.
That's passé now. What about Dragonfly? Is that still
one of John's
top
favorites?
Place.
Yeah, and that's on King Avenue near Neal. Is that right? And that's vegan?
It's
totally
vegan. 100% vegan and to extremely high standards, the kind of standards you'd expect in a restaurant that does French or continental cooking. And I don't know how the chef does it. It must be a lot of work to, say, make a creme brulee without eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Or to do any of the other things he does that make such satisfying food without using, certainly, meat, fish, shellfish, and not even using any dairy ingredients.
Yeah,
I
mean,
creme brulee
no
made out of soy curd. That's probably one of the
others. But it's good.
It's good, yeah.
So
a little known fact told to me by a friend, not personally experienced, is that they have terrific martinis as well. So,
and they have an interesting wine list that actually has some wines you'd like to drink with a meal.
Yeah.
So because they've got some good vegetarian choices in town.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do.
As well as you point out, John, the mainline restaurants are smartly offering vegetarian meals as well.
Yeah, you really can't open a regular restaurant of any kind, whether it's Formica or white tablecloth without some vegetarian offerings.
Interesting. I wonder whether that's – I mean, I understand what – do we know what percentage of Americans are vegetarian? Maybe 2%, 3%, something like that. But maybe others are trying to cut down.
But a lot of people want to be able to order vegetarian dishes.
Yeah.
Even if they don't always do so.
You want to cut down on the amount of meat and animal products you eat.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. We're at 614-292-8513, and we have Mort on the line. Hello, Mort.
Hi. Just wanted to make a comment, if I may, rather than asking a question about veggie burgers.
Yeah.
I understand the gourmet's distaste for them. I happen to like the Morningstar products, which originated in Columbus, and a while back I developed a distaste for Boca. However, one of the local stations, I think it was Channel 6, recently did a taste-off and recommended Boca's All-American Burger. And I tried it, and by golly, it is very good.
You know, yeah, I had a guest, a gentleman on from PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and I said I didn't like the veggie burgers, and he said, try the Boca burgers, and I'll have to do that.
Yeah, well, some of the Bocas I have encountered had a funny taste. But this particular one that they recommended, the All-American, it just came out, I think.
All right.
The All-American burger I found is very good, and they recommended it because they felt that it tasted like a real hamburger. Not having eaten hamburger in some time, I'm not sure if that's true, but it is quite tasty. And also Morningstar has a breakfast sausage, which I think would rival the real thing.
You know, I'm going to have to try that once again, Mort. I can't eat that stuff, but maybe I'll give it another try based on your recommendation. You know, because John Christensen, I don't think that a veggie burger necessarily has to taste like a meat hamburger. It just has to taste good.
No, I don't think it should have to. I think that there are great tastes you can get using whole grains and legumes that are not necessarily going to be like meat, but can be equally satisfying.
Sure.
Yeah, another one they recommended was Morningstar one called Veggie Burger, and it is very good.
Good.
And then they have a pizza burger kind of thing the kids may like. So it really is worth people opening their minds.
Yeah, I hope they don't do the same thing to veggie burgers that they did to, say, granola. Remember when that came out?
Well, that's a whole different subject.
And now, of course, it's loaded with fats and sugars.
There is one problem.
Bad stuff.
Yeah, there is one problem. If you try to cook them in a microwave on an open plate, the edges get very tough, and you basically have to keep them covered and maybe moisten them first and not overcook them.
Well, Mort, thanks for your call. 614-292-8513.
There's another place Marilyn and I tried not too long ago, and it has several vegan items on it, and I'm being deferential to the East Side, and we often get calls that tell us there's not much on the East Side, and it's no longer true. At least Main Street in Bexley is being better populated. There's a place called Flavors on Eau Claire in Maine that has several vegan options. It's really quite delightful. All fresh products and nice owner who is always on the property and is also the chef.
This is an owner who moved, you say, from Carmel, California?
Yeah, moved from Carmel.
There right away we have to be suspicious.
I think his wife's family and the availability of babysitters had something to do with it.
Okay. So give us an idea of what's at the Flavors Eatery.
It's been a few months since.
I think it was Thai chicken salad that Marilyn had. That was.
But they have, they have a number of and they bill several vegan specialties. They also it has a little bit of a Greek approach to things. Mm-hmm. It has some gyro and spanakopita kind of dishes.
Tell us what was that word you used?
Spanakopita.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's a spinach. Pastry. Yeah.
It's nice.
Essentially cheese, feta cheese, and spinach, and a pastry. But the other. Moussaka and those kinds of things. It's worth a visit. It has very few parking spaces, and don't park in the library parking lot.
And this is located again, right near the library. Yeah. Actually, right on East Main Street.
Just east of the library on Main Street.
Steve Stover, what's new?
Gosh, Fred. Well, I think there's a lot new, but I think John and I were just talking about the fact that what's news in Columbus is the paucity of new restaurants. I think we're heading in. We had a three-year stage a couple years ago, and then the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years have been booming with new restaurants and exciting things from Rosendale's to the Pistacia Vera and things like that all happening in the last couple years. And I think now, perhaps due to the economy, there have been fewer places to review, and I think some of us are sort of going back to some of the other places, revisiting other places.
Revisiting, yeah.
Sometimes we do themes where we'll pursue the top 10 burgers or something like
any
that.
Any sense, I don't know how often you talk to restaurateurs, the owners, but I mean, any sense that they say business is down, do we know?
Well, I think that survival is what everyone's concentrating on right now. At not just the top end, but every price range in restaurants. People are able to eat at home if they have to.
Yeah.
And that's the first place they're going to save money. And with the price of gas, it's made people think twice about making a discretionary trip for any reason. Mm-hmm. All of those things cut down on restaurant visits, especially to destination restaurants.
Sure. When you say destination restaurant, that's one that you...
That's one that you drive to in order to eat there, as opposed to a neighborhood restaurant that... you go to because it's convenient. Mm-hmm. So one that you make a special trip to.
Has there been any kind of a rash of closings lately? I mean, do we know, is it that bad or?
I don't know if it's a rash. I think it's kind of the
usual.
The usual. Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult business in good times.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Yes, exactly. It's the toughest business to be in, and you can sense that a lot of owners are at razor thin margins right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I see a lot of reluctance to raise prices, for instance.
Even though the product is costing them a lot more.
Wheat is up, a lot of other
food products.
Wheat
is up 50%, according to
really? And yeah. Certain forms of it, certain flours for bakers over the past couple of years have risen 300%, which is a huge increase to have to fold into your price structure.
The cost of European chocolate, just by virtue of the euro is, you know.
And I understand some critics, some commentators are suggesting that some of those food price increases are permanent.
I think so.
Oh, yes.
They've been depressed for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
And the price of wine, because of the euro and because of transportation costs, the plonk that is the house wine at the Stover House has gone from about $10 to $14.
Indeed.
A Cote de Rome.
Steve Stover is a restaurant critic for City Scene magazine and the Delaware Gazette. John Christensen, a critic for the Columbus Dispatch, our own WOSU restaurant critic, Rich Terapak, with us. 614-292-8513. Maybe you've not been going out lately. Maybe you have no restaurants to recommend, but maybe you do. Kenneth is on the line. Hi, Kenneth.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have a comment about the quality of vegetarian meat substitute foods. I've been a vegetarian for 12 years, and I'd say the quality has changed 1,000%. They used to all taste like
and
sawdust. And
that's right.
Meatloaf that tastes just like my mother's original meatloaf from 50 years ago.
So they're getting better, huh?
Oh, they're immensely better. There's Gimme Lean has a sausage and a beef flavoring roll form that you can use for anything from meatloaf to sausage patties. I make sausage gravy just like I used to. So now it's possible for vegetarians to get just as overweight as it
well, yeah. And as a matter of fact, often they do.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to be thin to be a vegetarian. Yeah,
that's right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kenneth. Thanks your call today, 614-292-8513. What's one of the old favorites maybe that you revisited? There was the Whole World Bakery, but maybe some others you'd like to recommend that you've tasted and tested again?
I think the Refectory always gets on our list of old favorites. In times of economic trial, they do still have their Monday through Thursday fixed price menu for three items
in the lounge.
The bistro menu.
The bistro menu for $21.
$21, yes. And you get a choice of appetizer, a choice of entree, and a choice of dessert. It is, in my view, the best value in Columbus.
Well, yes. And John Christensen, you give it a 5-star rating, the Refectory, right?
That's right.
For someone who's never been to the Refectory, where is it? What is it? What should they expect?
Well, it's in the near northwest on Bethel Road. It's in an old church, part of an old church. It's in the refectory portion of an old church.
The word refectory means?
Basically the dining hall of a religious establishment.
Ah, okay.
And the food is as authentic as the building. It's principally French, although there are plenty of American and what I'll call continental influences on it. But the emphasis is on a complete meal so that the serving sizes aren't so huge that you can only eat one course. Mm-hmm. The entrees are virtually always fully plated. That is, they all come with an accompaniment of a vegetable and some kind of a starch, and it varies according to the item that you've ordered. It isn't boiled broccoli and carrots that are available year-round from a big bag of frozen pre-cut item.
Would a restaurant serve something like that? My goodness.
It's a kind of place that when you look at the food on your plate and just take some garnish, some item on the side, you'll see as much work in that as you would see on the main dish in most restaurants. Mm. There's just a tremendous amount of preparation and thought and care, and I think integrity that goes into that kind of cooking.
Tell me about integrity. What does that mean?
Well, it means using the best ingredients and not cutting corners where you think you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not assuming that you can fool all of your patrons all of the time.
Okay.
It's cooking to your own professional standards, and that's what you do if you're a professional.
Sure.
You're trying to rise above the standards of the marketplace.
Yes.
And that's some of the many excellent features about a place that's as good as the refectory. And we haven't even talked about their wine service, their service generally,
and their,
or
wine,
their
list.
Wine collection, or their wine prices, mm-hmm. which are lower than most white tablecloth places, in spite of the fact that they are one of the few to age wines, to actually lay them down to age. Uh-huh. So it's a wide-ranging collection of little and large excellences that come together on your plate.
Another fun place, and Steve might want to comment on this, is is Lola's in uh-huh. Gahanna, uh-huh. that also an excellent product, not very expensive, not very big, by the way. Get there early, but it's family run and a good Italian venue.
Well, Gahanna's hopping, first Lola, all made from scratch in this tiny little place with no wine license and no waiting, but a lovely fettuccine Alfredo with grilled chicken and a salad is $15. So I don't think you can do much better than that. Mm-hmm. Nearby, in the creekside, you have Mezzo Italian, very pretty, fountains and a view of the creek. And if I were going for the food, I'd go to Lola's. And then there's also mm-hmm. Buck Mulligan's, which is a bar, tavern kind of place. So there's a lot of action
in Gahanna.
Who to thunk?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Breadbasket Bakery has moved there from the far north reaches of Gahanna. It's an artisanal bakery. Excellent products.
What does artisanal bakery, artisanal, what does that mean?
Well, artisanal is I guess it's gotten to be a buzzword, but it's basically a way of saying handcrafted in the world of food, as opposed to machine-made or industrial quality or mass-produced or something that's made, in the case of bread or cakes, from a mix.
All right.
I would say we shouldn't be gloom and doom in Columbus because there are not new restaurants, because we have such wonderful restaurants. John and Rich and I often talk about, you know, at one point at least, Columbus probably had the best restaurants top to bottom in Ohio. We could argue about that. Maybe Cincinnati has snuck back ahead a little bit by a nose, but Richard Rosendale, National Chef of the Year and captain of the United States Culinary Olympic team. We were there on Wednesday night, had a lovely four-course dinner with wine pairings. Very creative, very beautiful plates, very nice service, and very interesting wines. Chef Hankey at Hankey's.
By the way, Rosendale's is in
Short North, across from Haiku.
Okay.
In the
Hubbard and High.
Hubbard and High,
okay.
Hankey's.
High-end restaurant. Right?
Yes, high-end.
Yes,
end.
But yeah. People talk about it being high-end, and if you have a $32 entree, for example, we've just broken the $30 barrier in Columbus at Hankey's and Rosendale's. But if you go to any steakhouse, including mm-hmm. Eddie Merlot's, there was an article in the Dispatch about Eddie Merlot's, a chain steakhouse, entrees a la carte are $25 to $45.
And he means a la carte.
All right.
In the most Spartan sense of the word.
So, order your asparagus separately. Yeah.
If you go and spend separate. $45 for a steak and then have to add a potato and broccoli,
yeah.
And then go to a place like Hankey's or Rigsby's and get an entree with a starch and with a vegetable, beautifully served, and the quality of both the ingredients and the cooking is so far superior, it's not expensive to go to those places.
Right. We're going to pause here. Callers hang right on the line. Right after our break, we're going to get right to you. We'll be back with our restaurant critics here at WOSU 820 NPR News.
You know you want it.
It brings those thoughts of your mama being like, mm-mm.
You know you've got to have it.
Free ice cream!
Free!
Ice cream!
Free!
Really? Not a joke?
Well, don't fight the feeling. Come and get it.
I got the feeling.
Get the latest news and a whole lot more.
Baby, baby, I got the feeling.
On NPR's Day to Day.
Day to Day begins in 30 minutes at noon right here on WOSU. And today on Day to Day, They started a year ago with a few songs on MySpace. Now they're on an international tour. Meet the Ting Tings. That's coming up later today on Day to Day, right here on WOSU. And good morning, I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line. Here are today's big stories put in perspective on All Things Considered. Hosts Robert Siegel, Michelle Norris, Melissa Block, and WOSU's Christina Morgan present a mix of news, interviews, commentaries, reviews, and offbeat features. Listen to All Things Considered, weekdays starting at 4 on WOSU 89.7, NPR News, and Classical Music. Don't forget you can get all the day's news from All Things Considered and all the business news from Marketplace on WOSU 89.7 FM, weekdays from 4 until 7 o'clock. In the forecast for today, sunny this morning, a few clouds later this afternoon, and a high of 65.
Welcome back to Open Line here at WOSU 820 NPR News. We're with our Columbus restaurant critics for the Columbus Dispatch, John Christensen for City Scene Magazine, Delaware Gazette, Steve Stover, and our very own WOSU restaurant critic Rich Tarapak, all joining us in the studio. You're on the phone at 614-292-8513. You can email comments or questions to openline at wosu.org. Call us. Let's get right to you. Jay is on the line. Hi, Jay.
Hi there. I just had lunch Friday at the Wynn's, and beside the fact that they serve wonderful food, I wanted to point out that for many years they've been using a practice that helps keep down the cost from transportation, et cetera, by using locally produced foods. And I was wondering if you knew of restaurants in Columbus that made a habit of doing that.
Yeah, if you perhaps you weren't with us earlier, Jay, we talked about the North Star Cafes that make a habit of doing that. What about some others?
Sure. Worthington Inn, Black Creek Bistro, Handke's, of course.
Rigsby's, Elena's,
yeah.
So there Rigsby's is on High Street in the Short North. Worthington Inn is on, of course, High Street in Worthington.
161.
Elena's in High Street on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Bazzi Italia over on Highland between Buttles and Hubbard.
Right.
A block east of Neal.
They all make a point of using local sourcing.
Yes, I think what I would say about the Wynn's to distinguish them is that they were doing it long before it became fashionable, if
sure.
you will. They are absolutely the pioneer in central Ohio, if you can include them in there.
Mm-hmm. And they're again down in Yellow Springs. Wonderful. If you go to Yellow Springs, right. you've got to go to the Wynn's. Jay, we want to follow up here?
No, I was saying I never get a chance to eat at the other places because I live an hour south of Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
At least we're fortunate. If we can't buy our food directly in the country, we can always go there.
That's right. Thanks so much, Jay. And here is Helen. Hello, Helen.
Good morning. Two things. I would like to promote Paul's on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, Paul's on Fifth Avenue. Very nice Italian food at reasonable prices, yeah.
I'm a regular there on Saturday night.
I think I've seen you.
Yes.
He's been spotted.
Well, I have the perfect face for radio.
She's seen both of you.
But all made from scratch food. Paul Panzer is a classic chef. A classically trained chef. He's been the president of the Columbus Chefs Association off and on for years. He does a very nice catering job. And I think the best thing about Paul's is that you get wonderful food at absolutely unbelievable prices.
Yeah. Yeah. And great service, too.
And the wines are reasonably priced, too, at least last time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the servers have been there for many years, and they are outstanding.
They'll smack their gum and call you honey.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
My second comment, my late father was a restaurateur in Columbus. He had, I believe, the first seafood restaurant. And an issue which I don't know if you have addressed is how to deal with the staff when you have a meal presented to you that you know is not up to par to what the restaurant normally would do. And my father always said, and I've told people through the years, he always said, I would rather have the meal sent back to the kitchen, but that I were alerted to it, rather than someone leave the restaurant and say, I will never go back there again.
And tell 20 other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely right.
Speak up. Yeah. If you get something put in front of you after one bite, send it back.
Yeah.
Don't put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, if it's bad, you don't want to eat it anyway, even if management is not smart enough to offer you something in its place or to give you a price adjustment.
And I have learned, rather than just tell the waiter, because I fear it doesn't go any farther, to make sure that I ask for the manager.
Yes.
And I think it's how you present it. If you present it in a soft voice and kindly, and I usually preface it with, well, I know a little bit about the restaurant business, having grown up in it, et cetera, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's important, I think, to tell people, and I think you're doing exactly the right thing. Tell someone, I've had waiters not pass the word along
right.
for a while.
Right.
And so tell someone in charge, but for heaven's sakes, tell them, and a measure of the restaurant, a very important measure of a restaurant, is how they handle those kinds of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you do so in a civil manner, in a polite way, right. most restaurateurs are going to respond positively, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. They want the feedback.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say anything disparaging about chefs, but I do recall that they can be temperamental. And result, I think that, you know, for the wait staff to go in and say, oh, Joe, this didn't go over good.
Yeah.
It's much better to have the manager go in the kitchen and tell them.
Sure. Thanks, Ellen. Thanks for your comments. That's almost a stereotype, the temperamental chef. Is there real truth to that?
I think generally there is. It's
great pressure in the kitchen.
It's a very high-pressure
yeah.
business.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep track of 1,000 details every day, including the ones that you took care of yesterday, and you have to start all over today to reinvent everything you did before. And you have to keep track of all of the different orders and make sure that all of the people working for you, if it's a large kitchen, are doing their job. It's multitasking at its worst, I think.
Some people must thrive on that pressure, though. You wouldn't get into the business, right?
It's a tough business. Well, a lot of people don't understand that it's not just about what getting the food ready to come out. There's the front of the house and there's the business side. And you have to be, to have a successful restaurant, you have to be good at all and maybe even do a little catering on the side.
But for the chefs in the kitchen, I mean, I can understand why there'd be a high-pressure atmosphere, but they must enjoy that. I take it.
Well, I think some of them thrive on it. Chef Henke's been doing it for a very long time.
Yeah,
50 years.
Others burn out.
Yeah. Others burn out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What does a chef do when a chef burns out?
Well, first thing he or she normally
comes
looks
a restaurant
for is a
critic,
job.
Yeah.
If they want to stay in the food business, they basically have to go to a salary job somewhere, either in-house chef at a corporation or teaching
food
at
and beverage
a culinary
manager.
School.
Mm-hmm. Corporate food
or,
and beverage.
Or catering if it can be in a large organization that where somebody else worries about bringing in the business.
Sure. Okay. Let us go to Doug. Hello, Doug. You're on the air. Doug, are you here? Well, Doug is not responding. Wait a minute. I think we got him. Doug, do we have you?
Yep. You got me.
Okay.
All right. You were talking about fair food. One of the things that is real popular here at the Clark County Fair every year is the Clark County pork producers have pork chops.
Yeah.
They're big, thick. They have a great flavor, and they barbecue them right there, or grill them right there. And I wouldn't know what they're going to price them this year, but it's usually like under $5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
And then right next door is a high school that sells corn on the cob.
Which and, doubled in price this year. No, just.
Ethanol on the cob.
Yeah. There you go.
The pork producers have been some of our suppliers for the
state fair.
The state fair. We're doing classes there.
I'm chicken this year. The chicken at the state fair, you can do lamb, chicken, pork, and an annex of the dairy barn comes there, and you can get ice cream cones and shakes. It's a veritable cornucopia.
Well, and you've checked it all out.
Well, I look for them at the state fair, but they're never there. They're only at our local fair.
No, they are.
No, they are. They're in that round building that used to be called the transportation building.
Toward the south end of the fairgrounds, it's where the Heartland Cuisine and Ohio Proud are.
Okay.
We'll be there this year.
Again. They're quite popular. Yeah, you're right. The sandwiches are great.
I can't believe people would go to the fair and have this wonderful pork producers or chicken producers thing, and then they go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
We have a bakery here with quite a reputation for donuts. It's called Schuler's Bakery on Main Street. And when I used to work in Columbus Commute, the office just used to love when I bring donuts in. else at the seashore when you had French fries and stuff. They just sort of wait to get there.
So, Doug, where is it now located for us again?
It's near downtown. It's on the east side of downtown on Shuler.
Downtown what?
On Main Street. Main Street. It's the old National Trail.
Downtown Springfield we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good, Doug. Thanks for all your comments.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Hello, Michael. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the West Coast for about 14 years and grew up in Columbus and worked in the restaurant business. And so when I came back in the fall, I was glad to see an old standard that the top was still around.
Yeah.
And seems like a good value. They definitely still offer a vegetable and potato versus the a la carte route.
It's quite popular, and it's been around, you're right, forever. I'm the East Sider in the group, and it has quite a following. I shouldn't say it's just an East Side establishment. We've got good friends from Arlington and the Northwest who make it out there on a pilgrimage every 2 weeks. Terrific steaks, great baked potato, and I'm not even a potato fan. And the lamb chop is good. Not a lot of seating, so it fills up quickly. Call for a reservation. Owned and managed by a couple that lives about a mile away. So right on top of
it. Pay less and get more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to just comment on what I saw in the business section last week. And I've been to all the restaurants with this girly girl, and Liz, who I don't know her last name, who's
Lester.
Kind of offering a new take on business in the area, giving her employees same benefits that she gets in terms of health care as well as paying them above minimum wage. And if you all had a comment on that.
Right. The one most recently opened, I think, is the Tip Top, which is on Gay Street, just a little bit west of Third, on the south side of the street. It is it's fun, it's funky, it's got a really inventive menu for the most part. A lot of good salads. Sometimes you find things like green beans in the salad. It's got some good wines. It's always crowded. And she has Betty's, and she has Surly Girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now she bought the Queen Bee. I understand she just bought the Queen Bee, and it's going to reopen. And she's populating the, urban restaurants and is making them go and making them very popular.
Yeah. Tell us about the Queen Bee.
Well, it's an old diner on 4th, I believe, south of – north of – between Maine, around – near Maine.
Yeah, Maine and –
Richertown. Richertown. Yeah. And it's been there forever. It's been a couple bought it about a year ago and found out they just couldn't make it. And Elizabeth Lesner, who's the Betty and who's maybe the Surly Girl, I don't know, is taking a shot at it because I think there is some traffic. There's some activity in the area, and I think it State House types could wander over there and get a good bite to eat.
Mm-hmm. Michael, thanks for your comments and
all right,
questions.
Thank you.
With the Columbus restaurant critic Rich Terapak from WOSU, you can listen to our restaurant critic Rich Terapak on WOSU's Marilyn Smith every other Monday at 12:35 during NPR's Day to Day on WOSU 820. That's where you hear him. And also from City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, Steve Stover from the Columbus Dispatch critic John Christensen. Email from Mark here. One of your guests, he says, mentioned local sourcing. I enjoy watching Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares on TV, and I've noticed that the advice he gives to floundering British restaurateurs is always, quote, a simple menu, high-quality local food, and proper marketing. And Mark asks, I'm wondering whether this formula is as good advice as it seems and whether it applies to Columbus restaurants, too. And he also wants to know what you think about Gordon Ramsay's show.
I can't comment on the show because I don't have cable, but as far as the advice to keep the menu simple, if by simple he means manageably small, I think it's excellent advice, especially if you're starting out. Start with a small menu. Only offer those things you can do really well and for which you can reliably buy good ingredients. And if you're successful, you have plenty of years to grow the menu larger. We talked at the beginning of the show about North Star Cafe, and one of the things I like about their approach is that the menu is small. While it sounded large when we finished talking about it, it was only because we found so many things we all liked collectively. But part of the genius of that place is to keep the menu simple.
Now, marketing a restaurant is another thing. How the heck do you market a restaurant? Word of mouth has got to be a big deal, but how else do you do it?
Well, I think a lot depends on whether you're starting large or small. If you're starting with a small space that has a reasonable overhead, you can market through word of mouth because your chances of surviving long enough to have word of mouth do the trick are pretty high. If you're trying to fill a large space right away, you better hire some professional marketers.
That's mm-hmm. good advice.
Yeah. And a lot of the chefs work the hotels. Of all people, Chef Hanke sometimes visits with the concierges at the Hyatts and the downtown hotels, passing out menus and things like that. That's, those are some of the more common ways.
Kind of sort of hand-selling, one mm-hmm. at a time. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our caller here is John. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I wanted to comment about the question the previous caller had about local farmers being sourced for produce and meats. And you just brought up the North Star Cafe, and that's one place that I know does a lot of work with Ohio growers. And they'll do a lot of seasonal recipes on specials with vegetables that are in season, which I think is a pretty remarkable thing on a lot of scales. And the food turns out to be a lot better in that way as well.
Yes, we've mentioned about half a dozen restaurants that do that. There's also a new place at the North Market called the Green Grocer.
Yep.
And their focus is going to be, on local sourcing. We're very fortunate, again, that the North Market, if you go there in the summer on Saturday, you can find Ohio-grown mushrooms, lots of Ohio-grown produce and things like that.
Tomato season fall, is wonderful, yeah.
And then the fall, sweet corn in the fall, you can get apples and apple cider and things like that. And I think that local sourcing is probably the hottest trend right now. That, along with small plates and wine bars, seem to be where things
are
happening
in
Columbus.
It makes sense in an economic way. If you don't have the transportation cost and you can find the good local sourcing, and you get it fresher, it's fully mature. You're not buying things that have to sit around in a brown bag for 2 weeks.
And if you believe Kroger's when they tell you that they have a special hybrid of corn that they can ship from California and it tastes as good as locally grown.
Yeah, right. Have you guys heard of Johnny Yoke's Po' Boys Shrimp Shack?
Oh, yeah. I bet when I went to his place when he was on West Broad Street in a little old trailer. But I haven't been to he's on campus now, which is probably a good place for Johnny Oaks to be.
North High Street in Patterson. Yeah, I just came across it. It's wonderful.
What kind of po' boy did you have?
Is he doing the barbecues and the po' boys?
Yeah, he's got a lot of shrimp dishes. He has homemade andouille sausage, brisket, boudin, crawfish, etouffee. It's really great. I mean, stuff you don't really find in Columbus.
Not anymore.
That's terrific. I spent the weekend in New Orleans, and all of that stuff is fresh on my mind. It's really great. If we could do, hopefully they do, the shrimp and oyster and other po' boys as well.
What's the place like?
It's real small. It's there's no seating. Well, there's maybe one table. There's a little walk-up window. Basically, there's one guy in the back doing the cooking, and might take 5-10 minutes to get a meal, but it's definitely worth it.
John, thanks for your
call.
Thanks,
John.
And next up here is Rhonda. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. We have a big family dinner coming up with six of us, all these celebrations that we have, and I really wanted to go to La Tavola, but the things that I'm hearing about La Tavola lately are making me kind of cautious. So what do you know? And if you don't think it's really good, is there anything in the Northwest that's that good Italian the way La Tavola used to be?
It's in my top 10.
Yeah, I think I haven't heard those comments, actually.
Ricky Lopez and his wife Krista do a fabulous job. It's a beautiful setting, especially if you can go outside or sit on a window table. And I think the food has been better there with the pizza oven, with the house-made sausages
I'll have to demur on that. I think that there's been a decline in the reach of the menu and how high the menu is aiming. And I've, as a result, had to take it out of my top 10.
Oh, no kidding.
As far as Northwest is concerned, how many people total?
Six.
Okay.
Well, you might try Tucci's in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've been there, and I really
like
it.
For a private room?
But it's really noisy.
Are you trying to get a private room?
No, I'm sorry, no.
Okay. And Tucci's is noisy, okay.
Yeah, it is. It can get noisy when you have a number of parties.
Mm-hmm. We're thinking about other suggestions here. Coming up with anything on that?
But you wanted Italian.
Well, yeah, and not, you know, lasagna Italian, more interesting Italian.
Right.
I'll leave the Northwest Quadrant if you can give me a really good restaurant.
Okay, all right.
Well,
Scottie's.
What about Scottie's?
Rigsby's.
Well, yeah, Rigsby's would have the top Italian-style food.
Okay.
Again, although it doesn't hold itself out as an Italian restaurant.
Right.
And
again, High Street in the Short North, of course.
Yeah. Bazzi Italia is a little noisy, but it's on the patio. It's a lot of fun, and you feel like you're in a trattoria.
If you don't mind, cigarette smoke on the patio.
Okay.
Ouch. So we're not coming up with a lot of great...
Scully's in the Far East,
yeah.
If you don't mind driving out that far.
Okay.
Okay.
So does that mean we're declining in really good Italian?
No, I think that regular restaurant menus, compared to even 10 years ago, always, if you open a restaurant without Italian dishes on the menu, you're going to go broke. Mm-hmm.
But now Scully's on the Far East Side, and where is that located?
That's at 256 and Livingston.
Okay.
Where Livingston dead ends.
Okay.
Well, a couple of suggestions there for you, Rhonda.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. We have a second caller on the line asking about Italian restaurants. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. I joined your program late, so I'm not sure if your guests talked about the changeover in management and chef of one of the Turkish restaurants in town. I think, Fred, you know the Anatolian Cafe?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I was pleasantly surprised the other day I went there. That restaurant was operated lately by a lovely Lebanese-American couple, but I think they suffered because the chef wasn't up to par, I think. But I was just there to visit them, and I noticed that there's a new management, a new chef. They're both Turkish, I think, by origin. And apparently the chef has been in the restaurant business since age 9, learned from his father, and did some restaurant touring in New Jersey, and then they're here. But it is just really lovely right now. It just there are two others, and they're both excellent. And
where do you find it? Where is Anatolia?
It's I think
Worthington Woods.
Yeah, Worthington Woods and Galena.
And Worthington Galena Road.
Galena Road. There's a little strip shopping center, and that was the very first original Turkish restaurant in town, and
yes.
They were successful, and then. Some others opened up, but it is really just superb food.
Great.
Again.
Great.
I just wanted to update you on that.
Terrific. Thanks for the comment.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Pat. You're on the air. Pat, are you here? Our callers are disappearing rapidly. He's still there, but he's listening, but he's not speaking. Gary, will you speak to us?
Hello, yeah.
What's up?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm calling for everybody who live in Columbus. There's an African restaurant between Courtright and Livingston. It's called the Sherama. Sherama is Czerama restaurant.
Okay. And tell us again, it's between what and what?
It's an African restaurant.
And give us the location again.
The location is between Courtright and Livingston.
Okay.
So I'm Livingston at the car wash. The address is 2669 East Livingston Avenue. And you can order whatever. The expensive dish is $10, and it's a very, very good African food. It's called Sherama. It has a very big area. You can order for to go. You can eat inside, and it's a very, very good food. And I know people don't know too much about African cooking. This is a West African cooking. It's different from the East African cooking. It's sometimes spicy. It's very, very good with a nice flavor. It's called Sherama. It's a very good food, and I advise everybody to go over there. It's not because I'm from Africa, but I love food all over the world. I travel a lot, and I know this is a very, very good food. So,
well, our critics are rating down the restaurant and the location. They're going to give it a try, it looks like.
Yes, and the second thing is everybody asking us, what's good in America? We say America have everything good except the coffee, the regular coffee. What are they going to do about it? They have the best everything around the world, the coffee.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Gary. Thanks so much for letting us in on that. Email here from a listener. There's a newer restaurant in the Brewery District called After Five. And the owner, the emailer says, is a former OSU football athlete. Could the guests comment on it? Do you know about that restaurant?
Don't know it.
I've driven by. I thought it was more of a bar than a restaurant, but we'll check it out.
Okay. Cuco's Taqueria.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about that a little bit earlier. It's within running distance from Steve's house, and it is
a good healthy walk.
Yeah. It's on Henderson, pretty much right across the street from City Barbecue. It is a terrific Mexican restaurant, and it's very popular. It started off as a semi grocery, actually, and so they still have a lot of those products. But Steve can fill you in on the menu. I think there may be a once a week event.
Well, they're now open for breakfast, and I really want to go for breakfast. And then lunch and dinner close Sunday. They have a sort of a classic menu, but a lot of including of fish tacos corn tamales. I mean, those are the kind of things, and menudo that you look for in a Mexican restaurant to see how authentic it is. And Juan also, the owner, carries a lot of products. For example, when we want to make a chorizo fundido, we will use his. He has several different kinds of cheese, plus chorizo and other Mexican ingredients that you can use in your own Mexican cooking. So
it's quite a treasure. It is a treasure.
I want to go for breakfast.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. We have John Christensen. A couple of minutes left here. The only Indonesian restaurant in Columbus. Taste of Bali. What about that?
Well, they've done a good job of hanging in there. Speaking of restaurants that have endured some difficult times, and one of the things they did a couple of years ago was to make the menu a lot more user friendly. So they put a lot of graphics in it, lots of food shots of the food that they're actually proposing to sell to you. You know, not something they get off the web. And good descriptions in English of the various items. And that together with one of the friendly waiters there would allow anyone who knows nothing about Indonesian food to have a pretty good time. And if you're really ambitious, you'll go there and get their so-called rice table, Rishtafel, which is a... buzzword for a collection of foods. It isn't just, of course, rice. And it's a way to get a fixed price meal at a really reasonable price, get a whole lot of different things to try.
Okay.
So if you're at all interested in different foods.
Is it a particular table or is it?
No.
It's just an item on the menu.
It's a menu item.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you really can't go wrong going there and trying different things.
Okay.
I had a question from a caller that called my office.
30 seconds.
Called my office right before I left for today's show, and that was about cooking schools and Sur La Table and Faire La Cuisine.
There's a fabulous article in this month's City Scene magazine about cooking schools. The May-June issue, and it talks about Betty's, and it talks about Sur La Table and the others, as well as where we teach, is Faire La Cuisine in Granville. Mm-hmm. And then there are...
So they still exist, even
right,
though
there are cooking schools. There are cooking schools that are in stores, and then there are restaurants like Hankey's and Rosendale's that have classes.
Okay, yeah. And we thank you all for coming from City Scene Magazine, not surprisingly. Steve Stubber, good to have you here. Rich Tower, Pagaron, WOSU restaurant critic. Every other Monday, 12:35 during NPR's Day to Day, you hear him and Marilyn Smith, and from the Dispatch, John Christensen. Good to have you all back.
Thanks, Fred.
And this is listener-supported WOSU, WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.